It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 31 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Lots of baseball, softball, soccer. We've got it all for you, and we're going to talk about all of it as we go through this week's sports activities in Southwest Arkansas. We're going to start out with the Leopards, and the Leopards had a tough week, Tony.
They did, and you know, it was a tough week from the perspective that, I mean, they went into the week 4-0, they come out of the week 4-2, but it was two ball games that they held the lead in the MENA game. They had the lead in the top of the, you know, seventh inning, and they end up losing to MENA 5-3 and to the Arkadelphia Badgers 6-5. Lost that game in the seventh inning as well. So a tough week from two perspectives.
Yeah, they had a really tough week. I think that a couple of games that they could have won and maybe should have won.
Yeah.
Just have to move on from that and go forward this week. Big week for them if everything works out. And, you know, when we talk about this stuff, it's always weather permitting.
That's
so
right.
We're not even going to say that anymore because the weather is such a factor this time of year. We'll just adjust from one week to the next as we go forward with what happened.
Monday's a huge game at Nashville.
It is.
You can really get back on track if you go over there and beat them at their place.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday here at Hope, you got to defend the home field. And then Malvern and DeQueen have played some classic baseball games, and they play Friday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a week where I could see the Leopards going 3-0, and it's also a week I could see them going 0-3.
Yeah, that's right. Big week for them. And you know, when you're looking at the Friday game, to me, is a pivotal game, Tony, because spring break the next week, it's a getaway game. You know, everybody's already going to be gone if they're not doing this. And just, you know, you got to keep your focus there, and that's going to be hard to do for, and so if they can do that and get that game, I think they're going to be – it's going to work well for them this week.
It is, and, you know, we have it'll be interesting to see as we record this on Monday who the Leopards pitch tonight against the Scrappers. We've used two kind of different philosophies against them sometimes, but Max Pinkerton has been really effective against them. And Max, he throws a lot of junk, a lot of off-speed stuff, and it kind of keeps the Scrappers on their heels a little bit. They're kind of fastball hitters. So it'll be interesting to see what Coach Crocker does.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to the week with the Leopards. Looking at the Lady Leopards, man, they're just blowing it up right now, Tony.
They are, man. Yeah. They're just rolling through their schedule. 7-0 on the year. Last week beat Causatot 15-0, beat Arkadelphia 14-0. I think they've given up something like two runs all season.
I think it's 70-2, if I'm not
70-2.
Yeah.
And they're just clicking on all cylinders right now. You know, we had Chad in a couple of weeks ago kind of to preview the season, and I think that he was holding back a little bit maybe on how good he thought they might be, but this has to exceed his expectations as well.
Well, I would think so. I mean, the thing about it is, one of the things is we've called a couple of their games, the games we've called, they hadn't really got any hits. Because they didn't have to. The pitchers weren't pitching well enough for them to even swing the bat.
Well, they've got good eyes, but
right.
I understand in the blowout of the Lady Badgers, they got 14 hits.
Yeah, and that's
in that ball game.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So they can hit the ball when they need to. they've got good eyes, and they're not going to swing at bad pitches. And that we talked about that on the air one game. You know, you don't want your players getting in bad habits with some of these pitchers.
Yeah, it would be easy to tell your kids go up there and swing at anything close. And in the next ball game, guess what they're doing?
Yeah.
They're going up there and swinging the things out of the strike zone. And
yeah.
Our girls are pretty disciplined. They usually only swing at balls in the strike zone, and you can't get out of that for just one opponent or two opponents or whatever. So.
Yeah, that's right. You got to stay on the. Go ahead.
Well, as far as their schedule this week, I think I sent that to you. The game with Causatot this week's been canceled. Today's game,
okay,
has been canceled. So not sure why. And then tomorrow they'll play Hope, and then Thursday they go to Malvern. I'm not sure why the girls are going to Malvern Thursday and the boys are going Friday, but they are.
That's a little changed from what we've seen in the past.
It is, and I'm sure there's a with spring break coming up. I'm sure there's a reason for that.
That's probably what it is. But you know, a little more Leopard news. Talk about the soccer program. Big victories Friday afternoon for the Lady Leopards and Leopards. Leopards. If I'm not mistaken, I think they won 5-0. Tony.
Right.
Over the more.
I saw that as well, and then the article said 3-0. So
okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but anyway, they skunked them. We know that whether it was 3-0 or 5-0, 3-0 is like a football game of 30-0.
It is
soccer. So big victory for the Lady Leopards over the Morrilton Lady Dogs. Ellie Perez led the way with 2 goals, and then Leopards down at halftime against Morrilton, and they come back with a 3-1 victory. Angel Gonzalez had 2 goals, but then maybe from what I understand, one of the best plays of the soccer season so far.
Well, Benny Esther posted the thing on Facebook. It was, I mean, I don't know anything about soccer or much, but it looked pretty incredible.
You know they scored, right?
Yeah, I do know that.
I mean, it was a kick from the other end of the field down to the corner, and then John Bahina kicks it right in front of the goal. Donovan Esther.
Yep.
Just puts it in.
Yep.
For the score. Really, really good kick by Jonathan Bahina.
We need to bring Sloan in and talk to him about the soccer program on the podcast.
Yeah.
In the near future.
Yeah.
You know, you're the defending 4A state champions.
Yeah, we need to get him in here.
Need to
you're
get him
right.
in front of a microphone.
For our Leopard Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week, we're going to go with Perry Nickerson. 34 innings pitched. Only 2 earned runs, 46 strikeouts, and a .41 ERA.
And she's that's zero, and in the point, and in the four.
Yeah.
0.41 ERA.
So that's it. So that's all, you know, and not only that, she's batting over .500.
Well, she's not heard the thing that pitchers can't hit.
Yeah, that's right.
Perry, she's leading the Lady Leopards with a .566 batting.
Yeah, great week by her, and
great start for the Lady Leopards.
Yeah,
great start.
Congratulations to her for being the Leopard Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week. And so we're going to move on now, and we can talk about the Cossatot River Eagles.
Yeah. As far as games played, they're more off to a slower start.
Yeah.
I mean, the Leopards and the Lady Leopards between them have played 13 games. The Eagles and the Lady Eagles between them have played 3. And basketball has a lot to do with
that's
that.
Right.
You know, their teams made deeper runs into the postseason in basketball. But the Eagles lose to Sabaco Academy 15-5. And they've got 2 games coming up this week with Charleston and Hackett. I don't know enough about that conference. Are those both conference games?
They are, and they'll both be good baseball teams.
Really?
Won't they, Jeff?
I think so.
Yeah.
Welcome, Jeff Tuttle.
Yeah, Tuttle.
King Tut's
in.
I don't know if I'm running a little late or y'all running a little
early.
Tyler is under the weather. So
8:25, according to.
Yeah, so you're early.
We know that clock never changes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But
it's right twice a day.
Yeah.
More than me,
but that's true with me too. Those will be 2 good baseball teams. They'll have their hands full with those 2 teams.
Yeah,
and then you look at the Lady Eagles. Of course, they're 0-2. They've lost last week to DeQueen and Terratio, and they play Charleston Tuesday also, and then they play Waldron at home Thursday.
Well, to play teams in our area, the Lady Eagles could not have picked 2. Tougher opponents to start with than the Lady Leopards and the Lady Lions.
Yeah.
So hopefully they get well this week at Charleston and then at home against Waldron.
So. Yeah. And so we go with our Union Bank Eagle Player of the Week, and I appreciate you, Jason Sullivan, for continuing to support Cost-Tot River Eagles athletics and allowing us to talk about them on the air. But our Union Bank Eagle Player of the Week, Renly Richardson, hitting 500 last week. Great effort by her. She's doing a great job. Also playing
second base.
That's right.
I think that in the game with the Leopards, she had four putouts.
Yeah. Yep, she good job by her, and she's going to be our Union Bank Eagle Player of the Week. Just mention the Foreman Gators quickly. They had no games last week, and the Lady Gators have no games this week.
I'm not sure what's up with that either.
And Gators have a game against Blevins this week. Well, I'm going to tell you one of the things, and Jeff may speak more to this than I can, but these smaller schools, by the time you get to this time of the year, those kids have played in every sport, and they're wore out.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that affects it some, don't you, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, especially, you know, 2A, you got them stretched out right now between track, softball, and baseball. I mean, and, you know, some of your ninth graders are able to participate in the softball and baseball. So
how many of the 2As play soccer? Is there not many?
I can't think of any.
Okay.
I mean, there might be some, like in northern Arkansas.
Yeah.
But not around here.
But Foreman's had some coaching changes, too, and that's makes some difference, too, I would think. But anyway, we appreciate Horatio State Bank for sponsoring the Gator Player of the Week. Since they didn't have any games, we don't have a Player of the Week, but we do appreciate Horatio State Bank for all they do for athletics, high school athletics in Southwest Arkansas. Talk a little bit about the Horatio Lions now. Talk about playing. They played.
They got after it.
I think they must have played in the rain, Tony, because the Lions had three games last week. They're 2-5 on the season now. They lost to Prescott 5-4. But they beat Blevins 16-1 and beat Junction City 11-5. I tell you the truth, you know, Horatio's got a great baseball tradition. I'm a little bit surprised at that score, Junction City. Junction City usually has really good baseball.
Yeah.
And that doesn't that surprise you a little bit, Jeff?
Yeah, it does a little bit. I mean, they usually have good numbers.
But anyway.
Lions are young. It may take them a couple, a week or two to come together. But I guarantee you that nobody's going to want a steady diet of the Horatio Lions.
No, they've got such a good tradition, and they've done an excellent job down there. They got one game this week. They're playing Mount Ida Tuesday at home, so good game for them. When you look at the Lady Lions, they're 5-2 now. They beat Cost-Tot 12-2 and beat Blevins 15-0, and they lost to Arkansas High 11-1.
That's a big step up in class for them. Arkansas High 5A.
Yeah, it is. And doing an excellent job there. This week they've got Falk Monday, Mount Ida Tuesday, and Friday and Saturday they're going to a tournament in Jonesboro. So they're going to use up part of their spring break to go into a tournament.
Yeah,
so
by the time we talk about the Lady Lions next week, they'll play 11 or 12 ball games.
Yeah, they're going to get a lot of playing in. So anything you got about them, Tony? You want to add to that?
Well, I'm telling you the de facto Sevier County softball championship between the Queen and the Lady Lions. It looks like they play twice. It'll be a couple of really good ball games.
Yeah.
Just looking at scores and who you play and all that, they'll be really good. And they were good ball games last year.
They really were. The close games and really good games. This week, our Horatio State Bank Lions Player of the Week is going to be a softball player. It's going to be senior Isabella Green. Congratulations to her for being the Horatio State Bank Lions Player of the Week. And so we are now to the Dirks Outlaws, and we'll talk about them with the man, Jeff Tuttle.
Mr. Outlaw.
That's right, Mr. Outlaw.
I don't know about all
the that. Outlaw. He is an outlaw.
The outlaw.
Yeah.
So, man, I'll tell you what.
I like that hat.
I've known you six, 7 months, and you already have more nicknames than I do.
That means nobody can settle on one. That's
all that means. I like the outlaw, though.
We're just going to start calling him Greeny Jr.
That's a compliment.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about it's because of what you wear, not because of your
color. Well, either way.
Yeah, I know.
Either way, it's a compliment.
I know. I'm just playing with you. But Dirk's Outlaws, Jeff, what happened last week?
Well, we'll start with baseball. You know, baseball had they started out the week against Genoa Central, and been a tough year so far for the Outlaws. I mean, coming out of basketball, and, you know, they got some youth and a lot of change in positions on the field and a lot of errors. And Genoa Central defeated the Outlaws 18-1 early in the week. And they had a game Friday scheduled against Prescott, which was rained out. And after seeing that Prescott defeated the Horatio Lions, I'm kind of glad we didn't have to travel Prescott and play in the rain, because they must have a pretty good ball club down there.
Yeah.
As far as this week goes for the baseball team, you know, Monday the 11th, which was
yesterday, mm-hmm.
I have that they play Mineral Springs at home. I saw on the internet today where it's at Mineral Springs, so we're not even sure where they play, but if you're listening right now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They played.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know about it next week. Busy week, though.
Are you 100% sure they played?
Well, no, I'm not positive. Just by looking at the clock, I don't know what's going on. But busy week for the Outlaws. Wednesday, they have ball game Wednesday, and they take on Falk at home. And then on Friday, they travel to Bismarck to take on the Bismarck Lions at Bismarck. Opportunity for me to go see my nephew play. So,
how about Bismarck? What kind of team they have?
I'm not really sure right now. I know they were in the Poland tournament last week, and I think it rained out a few of those games. So, you know, they've had a few missed games due to rain. So, but I think they're expecting to be pretty good this year. So, like I say, I'll know more next week when we do this. I'll be able to tell you more about Bismarck.
Yeah.
Not that anybody listening cares.
Well, I think one of the things, the reason I asked that question is because as you were talking about some of the things that you mentioned about the Outlaws, the teams they're playing have a lot of baseball tradition. I mean, Genoa Central always have good baseball teams.
And, you know, they've been playing up in
classification.
Yeah.
I don't think they've played a 2A school. Today will be their first game against, Mineral Springs will be 1A in baseball.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and, you know, and the same thing with Falk this week. I mean, Falk's got, you know, they've got a good reputation for being a good, you know, a tough out in baseball. Yeah. And, I think that, you know, they're not shying away from competition.
Yeah.
And so that's going to bode well for them when they get to conference and start playing their conference.
And, you know, just getting to play some games. You know, one game a week, everybody needs more than that. And like I say, this week they're busy with Mineral Springs, Falk, and Bismarck. So
yeah.
Baseball teams.
Well, and that's a great thought, because one of the things the Leopards and Lady Leopards have done is they played plenty of baseball and softball, and they're going to go into spring break and they've already played 10 games. Some of these teams are going to go into spring break and have only played,
On the flip side of that, our softball team.
Yeah. You wonder about that and how all that affects the team.
They've played two games, Lady Outlaws. They lost to Nashville JV 16-6 last week, and then they defeated Mount Ida 12-7, and they don't have a scheduled game this week until Friday, and they start the Deborah McMaster's tournament. You know, it'll be played at Hope. For the Lady Outlaws and the loss to the Scrapperettes, Sydney Mounts had three hits. She had two singles and a triple. She scored three runs. Aaron Coward had three hits for the Lady Outlaws. And then in the win against Mount Ida, Mounts had a hit and a walk and scored two runs. And so, you know, Sydney Mounts is going to be our Toad Thumper Lures
Sounds
player
like
of the week.
A solid pick.
So yeah. She didn't leave me any option, really.
Yeah. She left no doubt.
But like I say, they're off this week until the tournament starts on Friday.
Right.
Which it looks like it's going to get rained.
Probably so.
Yeah.
And be well rested.
Track and field for the Outlaws this week. The Ashdown Domtar relays are Thursday, so that's where they're at in track and field. That's kind of the whole Outlaw update.
All right. Well, we appreciate you talking about that, and we're going to talk about Ashdown Panther sports.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have Jim Cross on today because Greg and I could not figure out how to on the phone.
Technical difficulties.
Greg and I were amazed. I called Greg in here in the studio, and he could hear me, and we thought we had it figured out. but he could hear me because we're 5 feet apart.
And I was rushing. I was rushing through all my stuff for that 9:30 call.
So Jim was a good sport about it. But he did text me some information, and I've got some information on them. The Lady Panthers, man, are rolling. They're like the Lady Leopards. They're 6-0, and they blew out Magnolia Monday 11-2. That's a very impressive softball win. Magnolia, usually very good at softball. They beat Hope 10-2 on Tuesday. And like I say, they're kind of on a collision course with the Lady Leopards as well. On the 11th, they'll go to Genoa and play their girls, and then the 15th to Arkadelphia to play the Lady Badgers. Now, the baseball team, they had a pretty good week as well. They beat Magnolia 11-4. That's a very impressive baseball win to beat the Magnolia Panthers. And they beat New Boston 7-1. They're 4-2 on the year, as we said. And they'll go to Camden Fairview on the 12th, and they'll go to Arkadelphia on Friday. So a big week for the Lady Panthers and the Panthers. Our Panther Player of the Week, Horatio State Bank Panther Player of the Week, is going to be Kyler Jones, who threw 6 innings against New Boston and gave up 1 run. So I don't do it quite as well as Jim, but that's it.
Who does?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, and there's times in my life I come to a crossroads and I think to myself, what would Jim Cross do? And then there you go.
There you go. And then he doesn't do it and screws up.
Then I do what Greg Rebels would do.
And that's a big mess up right there. That's a big mess up. But you know what? While we're on Ashdown Panther Sports, let's talk about Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, it's located at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, Arkansas. And they 870-898-5181. And, you know, when you talk about Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, you can't just talk about them. You also got to talk about the Queen Animal Hospital. And when you talk about the best. You're talking about Kenny and Jennifer Martin. They're the best. They are constantly supporting sports in Southwest Arkansas, and they are just great supporters of our community and all of Southwest Arkansas. But their veterinary services are beyond reproach also.
I agree.
They're outstanding there. They'll take care of you in addition to taking care of your pets, which is more difficult than taking care of the pets a lot of times. but you know, the thing about them is they're just really great, and they perform so many services. If you need, you know, whatever you need, from large animals to small animals, they can do it all. They board your pets if you need that. And they're just great supporters of our show, and we appreciate them so much for doing that. And now let's go on to something else. What would you like to talk about now?
On to something entirely different.
Well, we can talk about a couple of things. And we have with us Matt Webb, Suzanne Babb, and Angie Walker to talk to us a little bit about the eclipse.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming. And over the next 3 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to take just a short segment of time and talk about some of the things that we in the community can do as far as the eclipse goes to make it easier on us and also on the people that are coming in to visit.
And I think on the medical side, what we kind of want to remind you to do is, as patients, be thinking about getting your prescriptions filled early. You know, don't wait till those last minutes. Don't schedule normal office visits for that day, which is April 8th. Let's try to do those the week before or the week after. And I would say probably go ahead and tell me if you think this is right, Matt. Go ahead and have like maybe an extra week's worth of groceries or something like that, because we do
absolutely
expect some supply chain issues.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of visitors come into our county, and there's going to be some resources that are possibly depleted during that time period, because, I mean, we're not equipped to have that many people come into this county at that point in time.
So. And from the restaurant side of it, or our business side of it, we need to ask our businesses to get your deliveries early. Don't wait till the end of the week and think you're going to get your food supplies in. If you're a convenience store, be sure and get your gas deliveries lined out so that you don't wait till the last minute and find out you can't get that in either. So we need to make sure that everybody is prepared. We want this to be an enjoyable event for the people that live here and for our visitors that are coming in.
Okay, I appreciate that. Anything else y'all want to mention this week?
Just the fire departments, I want to just say that we're proud of them, the volunteer fire departments. They're working really hard to be prepared for this and you know, help people out during the eclipse week.
And I'd say, too, please be mindful of 911. I mean, it's probably not appropriate to call 911 because somebody's parking in your yard. You know, we don't want to overrun those telecommunications. And, you know, it's going to be a stressful time period. So just reserve that for true emergencies.
Okay. Thank y'all. We appreciate it so much.
Hey, before we get off of high school sports.
Okay. Yeah.
And y'all might have, before I walked in, y'all might have mentioned it. But I'd like to congratulate a friend of mine who's a brother to a really good friend of mine. Dequeen alum Matt Hall,
yes,
won a state championship with the CAC Mustangs. I don't know if y'all have mentioned that or not, but
we had not mentioned it.
Congratulations to him. You know, he's a hard worker and well deserved.
And not only to mention that, an interesting point. You know, while we had no teams other than Nevada County was in, and they lost from Southwest Arkansas. The interesting thing about that game was both of those guys have ties to the Queen Leopards.
Yes.
You know, Matt, of course, was at the Queen Leopard, went on to star at Harding, and been a great coach for a number of years.
Is an understatement. He probably holds every record there, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, he's in the right. You're right about that. And on the other side, the Bergman Panthers, the coach for them, Bo Martin, Lyndall Martin's youngest son, who was here. Now they moved on before he ever got to play high school basketball. But Lyndall, great coach here and in this area, and then ended up being superintendent up at Wicks, Costaw River for a while, and just a really, really great family. And we're proud that both of those guys were.
We talked about last week, you know, locally being out of it, but there was some area flavor in the finals.
Yeah. So. Yep, there really was. And that, a good idea, and I'm glad you brought that up. And congratulations to Matt Hall and the CAC Mustangs for their victory. I think that was the only victory state championship that the CAC Mustangs have not won.
Really?
That's what I read in the paper.
Wow.
I think over the years, I mean, you know, over the years, they've won one in every sport except.
So they may be more proud of him than we are.
They may be.
He got them one.
Yeah, they may be. But great guy. I actually, a couple of weeks ago, had the opportunity to talk to some people up from Little Rock, and they had nothing but great things to say about Matt Hall, and I can't agree with them more. Yeah. So great guy, but. If you want to talk about Arkansas and Southeastern Conference to start off with.
I've got the bracket out here for us, and I've actually picked a bracket, and I know you guys hadn't had time to do that.
But I started to fill it out. But
did you really?
Well, just a few minutes ago while I was
listening. Jeff was hoping there was going to be lunch on it or something.
Just listening in to y'all, I started to fill it out. But I'll be honest, it's a little small for my eyesight.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Diabetes.
Sound like Wilford Brimley.
That's just one thing is wrong with
him. We don't have time for everything.
It's only an hour show.
Yeah, well, we still got some time. You want to go in?
We don't really use it as filler in the end. We're going to see where we're
okay.
At.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things you talk about, you look at Arkansas. Got beaten overtime by Alabama Saturday, so ended up as the 12th seed. So they get to play experience the full Southeastern Conference tournament.
I think they were ahead by 15 when I turned that on Saturday.
Yeah, they were. And you know, the thing about it is, I mean, Alabama's a great basketball team. One of the things that I still think we got cheated. Of course, I'm a Razorback fan. Mekhi Mitchell got fouled on that last play.
He didn't miss free throws.
No.
I mean.
No. No. And if they had called that foul, there wouldn't have been an overtime. When you go to overtime against a team like Alabama, you're going to have a tough time winning at home. And so, but Arkansas is playing better. So now I'm going to ask, and I don't. Do you watch them, Tony, at all?
Some, yeah.
Okay. I know you probably watch them, and I watch them. What's your anticipated? What do you anticipate them doing in the SEC tournament?
I'm a realist.
Yes.
And I mean, I know this isn't a surefire answer. I can see them losing the first round game or making it to the quarterfinals. I mean, they can do either one of those. It depends on which team shows up. And I mean, I can see them making it to play Auburn fairly easy. But
how'd they fare with South Carolina during the season?
South Carolina beat them pretty bad last time they played.
Yeah, at home.
Yeah.
But they were playing really bad right then.
Well, they just got beat by Vanderbilt like a week ago.
Yeah. It was a little bit longer than a week ago. But,
well, I'm yeah. just saying, we yeah. talked about that last week.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a little bit longer than
but
a week ago.
But in the Razorbacks, I mean, in their defense, Vanderbilt plays on a court with the benches on the end. I mean, that's not even really fair.
Yeah, I remember watching that as a kid. We got to watch a lot of UK as a kid. And, you know, we're 2 hours from Lexington. And that always amazed me, their basketball court.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I always thought that somebody's going to fall off the edge and kill themselves.
And they may have, but they didn't tell it.
But I mean, I could see them being one and done or making it to the quarters. What's your take on them?
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think, first of all, I agree with you on Vanderbilt's court. I think that's unfair, and they ought to have to take 5 points off. They ought to start in the whole 5 points just because of that.
Well, apparently it's not affecting anybody else since Vanderbilt's the 13 seed.
Yeah, you're right. But they could have been the 15th seed.
And it helps Vanderbilt's baseball team every year.
Yeah, but we can't really blame that court on it since Vanderbilt beat us at Fayetteville.
Oh, yeah.
So that doesn't really help us any. So,
but we were thinking about their court.
Yeah. Well, that may have been what it was. But you never know what team's going to show up. I could see them saying, hey, we're out, we're done. Vanderbilt just rolls over them, or I could see them. I definitely think they can play with South Carolina.
Yeah.
If they play like they played against Kentucky and Alabama. Now, you know, and once you get to the top four seeds, I think they're probably
that's
overmatched.
What I was going to say. I mean, I can't see them winning it.
No.
Which I feel like they need to at least make it to the semis, which would give them.
That's to get to the NIT.
You think so?
Yeah, they won't get the NCAA.
Okay, so they had to win it. You think to get to the dance?
If they don't get the automatic
bid, about Arkansas,
yeah. If they don't get the automatic bid, they're not getting the NCAA.
Which
no
if
way.
They're not going, I mean, if you think you can't win it, why? What effort are you going to put forth against Vanderbilt?
I know, and that's what I say.
And I mean, the thing is, you think about how excited would Arkansas be to even go to the NIT?
Yeah,
this is a team that's perennially, you know, well, one of the best 8, 16, 24, 32 teams in the country. But I don't know how excited
they want us in the NIT, though, because of crowd, because of fan
sure.
base. I mean, we're going to.
Sure, they would want us.
One of my few Razorback basketball games was an NIT game that they played while I was in Benton. A guy from there took me against Indiana State, and Arkansas beat him like a yard dog.
I heard they had a good player a few years back.
Yeah, they had one.
I think his name was Bird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah, some kind of bird. But
I hope Cody Tedford's listening right now. Biggest Larry Bird fan ever.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a pretty good basketball player.
He was okay. I mean, he was not better than Jordan.
No, Cody, come on, man.
Did he say that?
Absolutely.
No.
Cody. He'll probably be driving up before this. He won't hear it until tomorrow. Next Monday, he'll be here.
What are you talking about? Does he live in the real world?
He's a sponsor. He's one of our sponsors.
I would say he's a top five.
Yeah, I mean,
probably in my book, he's a top five.
You got Dominique ahead of him?
I don't have Dominique ahead of him. No.
I've just picked
now, I've got a buddy back home that have Dominique ahead of him.
No.
Shout out to Joe Henson.
No. I got way off track just thinking about that. Come on, Cody. Let's get real.
I mean, just shut down the whole podcast.
I love Larry Bird. I think he did a lot of good things for a guy that couldn't jump. But you know what? I don't even know that he was better in college than Sidney Moncrief. They got ripped off, or Sidney Moncrief would have been playing Magic Johnson instead of Larry Bird. in 1978.
Well, and I think you could at least make the argument, and y'all, I mean, y'all may not think so, that Bird had as much or more help around him than Jordan did during their playing time.
Well, the whole time, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, I can tell you right now, if Mr. Tedford was sitting,
I'm watching the door to see if he's coming in.
His biggest argument is the turnaround in record. I think from Bird's rookie year, supposedly, now this is all hearsay according to Cody, biggest turnaround in record from one season to another. If I would have mentioned that to Tony beforehand, he'd have brought the numbers in here and we'd know for sure.
Well, Bird is great. I mean, like I say, he'd probably be in my – I haven't sat and thought about this out, but he would probably be in my top five. But saying he's better than Michael Jordan, that would make him one in my book, and he's not one.
No. No.
He's a heck of a ball player.
He is.
And Cody's a really good guy. Hey, just a little delusional.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Larry Bird, probably the best ball player that couldn't jump.
Yeah, you got me trying to think of some of those right now. But
there's only one Larry John Bird. Stockton, you could say that about Larry Bird. There's only one.
Oh, yeah.
There's nobody that played the style of basketball he played, and there may have been nobody that wanted it more.
And, you know, they
did.
Claim he's the best trash talker ever.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what they say.
Yep. Yep. And he was a good player, but not better than Michael Jordan.
Well, let's
Tony just talking about seeing Indiana State but Arkansas play, and I went off the rails.
But here's the deal. When you know, we talked about the top four seeds, you know, the top 16 last week, and we talked, you know, what are you seeing as far as conferences? You know, to me, it looks to me like they're cutting the little guys out, even in the bottom part of it, as much as, you know, they're going to get the automatic bids, obviously, but.
Well, I mean, and again, I'm familiar with it because I'm a Marshall fan.
Sure.
But the Sun Belt has a unique opportunity today. They play their championship today. Arkansas State has been hotter than a pistol, man.
Yes, they have.
They have rolled the last part of the season. They rolled into this tournament, and they've rolled everybody in this tournament. They play James Madison. James Madison's like 30-3. If Arkansas State would upset James Madison, the Sun Belt's probably going to get two teams in the NCAA tournament. Never happened before. So, I mean, but it's going to take an upset for that to happen.
Of that magnitude.
Yeah, but James Madison's probably in no matter – if you're 30-3, you're probably in no matter what.
Yeah.
Going back around to the number one seeds, and this is just me being an optimist, hadn't Arkansas defeated two of those?
Yeah.
Duke and Purdue.
Yep.
And here we are going to miss the tournament.
Well, and that, you know, I think that says a lot more for, you know, we talked about the NIT a little bit, and I know we're going back and forth a little bit, but I think that says a lot more for why we won't be in the NIT. The players we have now and the way he recruits with those guys have no interest in being in the NIT.
I think Arkansas would decline an invite to the NIT.
I told somebody earlier in the season, talking about the players they recruit, that's
especially
what I told
don't
somebody.
Get a home game.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they don't get a home game, there's. But, you know, somebody was talking about that and how down a year we had. And we may have talked about it on here one day. I don't know. But I said, you know, that's what we're looking at year in and year out. If you're recruiting the one and dones,
yeah, you're going to hit
every once in a while. You're
going to
have a good year. You're going to be done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you right. Take those kids that were drafted last year in the draft and put them on this year's team and. We're not even having a conversation about whether or not we make the tournament.
Well, Arkansas either looking at getting the double bye in the conference tournament or playing on the first day, like they're playing on the first day this year.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a lot in between. That's what I think. When in this era and the way Muss recruits.
You know, the biggest deal with me is I just hope he's there next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because I could see him going somewhere else relatively. I mean, I think he could go somewhere. The only thing is he's just got to pick where he wants to go. You know, if it's open, he could go almost anywhere.
Go to Huntington, Muss.
Yeah, he could do that.
We have the most experienced coach in the NCAA.
Yeah, he's not going to do that because they're not going to pay him what he's getting paid. But
well, we don't pay our coaches.
Well, you know, and I think the thing that's interesting about this
pro bono
this year,
that's right,
is that this is maybe the worst year Muss has had. and he's fixing to get a big raise.
Yeah.
I mean, because his contract's up, and they're going to have to give him a raise, or he's fixing to be.
Speaking of that, Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Crazy, man.
Who do y'all think, before we move on from the SEC tournament, if you had to pick somebody now, I pick Tennessee.
Okay.
NCAA tournament?
No, it's SEC.
SEC. Yeah, I like Tennessee.
I'm going to take Kentucky. Kentucky's playing really well. They just got through beating Tennessee.
Yeah.
And
make the argument that Kentucky maybe has an easier route than Tennessee, just looking at the potential opponents. So
I like Kentucky's colors better.
Yeah, I understand that. And I don't like Tennessee's.
I'm not a big fan of Slick John.
Me either.
Well, that's
slimy.
That's a whole episode right there.
Well, you know, the only wins that Marshall has over Memphis, they used to play in Conference USA, where Memphis beat Marshall, and then they had to go back and forfeit their game, so Marshall beat Memphis a couple times.
The only thing I want to say without really getting into the whole Calipari thing is there's a reason UMass got on the map years ago.
Yeah.
And they're not on the map now?
And it's because of a corrupt coach. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Dak, I mean, you guys, Greg's a Cowboys fan, and I know that you kind of follow the NFC, and you can't help but follow the Cowboys if you live in Southwest Arkansas, no matter who you root for. As I understand it, and the NFL salary cap is sometimes very difficult to understand. The last 2 years of his contract are voided, so this is actually the last year of his contract, and he is set to make $59 million this year. Now, they could renegotiate it.
Go ahead. No, you finish.
And they could bring his cap number down some, but if he plays out this year and just plays out what's left of his contract, he will cost the Cowboys $59 million on the salary cap. Now, would you extend him? Would you let him play out the year? If you extend him, he's probably going to be the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. Does he warrant that? Is that the best for the Cowboys? What do y'all think?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, because I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it. I would quarterback him for a third of that.
I mean, I think.
And get about the same production. We'll get the same number of playoff wins. I'm sorry, Greg. Go ahead.
I would like to see
Tuttle
that.
Tuttle drops back.
I would like to see that.
Then we could talk about everything that's wrong with me.
Yeah, but you'd have $20 million or so to console yourself.
Well, one of the things I think is, I mean, I'm not sure that he actually is getting $59 million this year. I think they're just taking a hit for that much.
Well, that's the cap space he cost them.
That's right.
Which that's money you can't sign somebody else with.
True.
Yeah.
That's true. But I mean he's still getting his $34 million a year, whatever it was.
That's right.
Which is he's not worth that. In my opinion. Well, yeah, you're asking. So I'm just saying if they're taking a $60 million cap hit and there was any way they could get rid of that by getting rid of him, I'd do whatever I had to do to get rid of him. There's not a quarterback in the NFL right now that I'd take a $60 million hit for.
Not even Mahomes?
No.
Well, they got one of the top draft picks as a backup anyway, don't they, with Trey Lance? I mean, they traded for him.
Yeah. But I don't. What's? I mean, he didn't show too well where he was. But you got to figure out, you know, you got to. In the right situation, you know, I think, you know, here's what I think. I think what I would do if I were them, I'm going to see if I can get, what's the Titans guy?
You're talking about Tannehill.
No.
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Never passed the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get Derrick Henry. Then I'm going to get rid of Dak. If I can get rid of the hit.
Just get somebody that can.
And then I'll give it to Trey Lance, and I'll see what he can do with a running back that can, you know, that you can sit there and use the clock, eat the clock up. Because that's what they want to do anyway.
Yeah,
that's what the old Green Bay coach wants to do anyway. Which I wish he'd go back to Green Bay.
Well,
you can have him back.
Cowboy news though, I saw yesterday, and I think I've got this right. They have given Gallup permission to talk to other teams to get him a deal laid out because they can't afford him.
Yeah.
So Gallup is going to move on from the Cowboys.
Well, that's
a salary cap thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of my question, and I'm not a money guy by any means. You can talk to my bank. They'll tell you that. I don't know how they go about managing it, what they do, but can they restructure Dak's contract? How many times did Tom Brady take less money
and they can
to
do
improve
that,
the team?
But you push that money out into the future.
Okay.
Yeah, and they could do that, but Dak has not shown no willingness not to be the highest-paid quarterback in football. And I just – you know, I'm not sure if a restructure is what's best for the Cowboys or what, like Greg says, give Dak permission to talk to other teams, let them extend his contract, then trade him, let give him that dead cap money, and then figure out what you're going to do.
I don't think he'd take him.
And while we're bashing
at that price, at that price,
yeah.
Who would take Dak Prescott at that price?
Well,
even if you spread it out over 10 years.
Not anymore. Not anymore, baby. This morning, the Steelers signed Russell Wilson.
Did they?
For the league minimum. So the the Denver Broncos are paying Russell Wilson $39 million next year to quarterback the Pittsburgh Steelers. How sweet is that?
Yeah.
Back to Dak real quick while we were on our bashing Dak phase there. I do want to go on record and say I really like the guy.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, I think he's a great guy. He's handled everything with class.
Well,
but that's not what any of this is about.
This is more about Cowboy fans' expectations than it is anything else.
I think
Jerry Jones.
I think one of the things is when you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, there are pressures on you that no other quarterback has. None. I don't care if you're talking about Tom Brady, you're talking about Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. They still don't have the pressures of Dak Prescott.
All you hear is it's been 30 years since the Cowboys won a Super Bowl. Guess how long it's been since the 49ers have?
Yeah.
30 years?
Yeah.
And why does nobody talk about that?
Yeah.
Because they're not the Dallas Cowboys.
That's right. That's right. Because they're not America's team.
Packers.
Here we go again. But, you know, you talk about Pittsburgh's situation. I mean, that's a no-brainer. If you can sign Russell Wilson for the league minimum and somebody else is going to pay him and you got him for 1 year audition, why would you not do that?
Yeah.
He wanted to come to Pittsburgh. He could have done that with anybody.
He's playing for another contract now. I mean,
that's exactly right. So we're going to find out if he has anything left in the tank. And if not, the Steelers are finished. Because I don't think Kenny Pickett's the answer. They've already made Mason Rudolph so mad. He is not going to come back. He's not going to sign with the Steelers. And Trubisky just signed with maybe the Buffalo Bills last week.
Yeah, they dumped him though.
The Bills.
They did.
Yeah, they dumped
him.
He's going to be the backup for Josh Allen.
They're cutting people left and right.
They are. I mean, but I'm sure Trubisky was cheap. They got him off the clearance aisle.
Yeah. What's interesting to me, you know, here's another interesting thing. If we're just talking about trades and stuff, is Mac Jones just got traded from the Patriots to the Jaguars. Now,
I have not watched ESPN all weekend, I guess.
Well, you know, my part of my Sunday evening is going to ESPN and just scanning the headlines and seeing, because we never know how much time we're going to have to talk at the end.
So. Part of mine is going to the NASCAR race and fast forwarding to the wrecks. That's my Sunday evening. But short track race, yesterday, it was boring. Go ahead.
Cannot understand that. I mean, why?
Jeff wanted to watch the wreck.
Why, when you got Trevor? Yeah, why would you have, when you got Trevor Lawrence? I mean, he's in the prime.
Yeah,
getting to the prime. Why would you get Mac Jones?
His rookie deal is getting ready to run out, and he's going to want to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, he was a Pro Bowler last year, wasn't he?
Probably. Yeah, he had a good season last year. They didn't make the playoffs, but I think that that's kind of just maybe telling Trevor Lawrence, hey, we can live without you. We could go on without you. So watch what you ask for. in this renegotiation. I'll tell you what, these teams who hit on a quarterback out of college, kind of like the way the Cowboys did on Dak. You know, they kind of hit on Prescott. And while he's not the best quarterback in NFL, he's probably top 5, 7, 8. I mean, that's if you draft a quarterback in the fourth round, that's a hit.
Yeah.
But when it comes to renegotiating and you've been used to having all that cap space because you're playing a fourth round pick salary for 4 years, and it comes to that fifth year option and then the renegotiation, I mean, it can be, if you've not planned for it throughout the rest of your football team, you're going to be like the Buffalo Bills. You're going to be loaded with red ink and cutting players left and right.
Well, I mean, they talking about the quarterback in the draft like that, and, you know, I hit on it last week when I was saying I wouldn't draft a quarterback first. I mean, the Niners are starting Mr. Irrelevant, last pick of the draft.
Yeah, but the Steelers are starting Kenny Pickett.
But I'm just
and he was a first round pick.
Purdy is getting paid, what, probably $500,000 a year?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think he's probably at league minimum.
But when his 4 year thing runs out and it's a fifth year option and then the renegotiation,
they either have to be ready to move on or.
That's right. They've either got to probably have. I mean, what's Brock Purdy worth? If Dak's worth $60 million, and we've decided he's probably not, but he might be to the Cowboys, what's Purdy worth? $40-45 million a year?
I mean, he's got him to the NFC Championship game and to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, quarterbacks are going to be overpaid. They just are. Well, except for Russell Wilson.
Well, he's still overpaid. This is not
the Steelers aren't paying him.
Aren't paying. But I, you know, one of the things I think about when I think about somebody like Purdy, and I think this showed up in the Super Bowl to some extent, is that he's a manager. And he manages the game, and he does a good job of managing it along with the coach. But when it required the talent that needed to be to win the Super Bowl, it wasn't.
Well,
in my opinion,
he
wasn't
there. He should have lost to Green Bay.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he should have lost to the Lions.
That's right.
I could tell a kind of funny story about Purdy that I don't know if I've ever shared with anybody, to be honest. I try to keep up anybody local. If Derek's, DeQuain, Wicks, whoever has somebody playing in the NFL or NBA, even the scrappers. And I used to watch LaMichael Petway if I could.
Yeah.
He was a scrapper,
played
at Iowa State. And I'll never forget one of the first times I watched him. You know, Purdy was his quarterback.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, if Petway had a quarterback, he would be able to do.
You need to be a talent evaluator.
No,
maybe we can get you a job as a scout for the Cowboys.
And then we could go back to things that were wrong. But no, I mean, I really did. I thought, he just don't have much of a quarterback, you know. And look at him now.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think one of the things you see is, and not only do you see that in sports, but it really shows up in sports, but all throughout life. If you put people in the right position, they can excel. You put them in the wrong position, they can fail miserably.
Yeah.
And it can really not be anything to do with them.
Neil O'Donnell went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
Think about that for a little bit.
Well, I mean, that's exactly right.
And this is changing the subject completely again. I mean, as far as the football deal, but like the can't-miss prospects,
mm-hmm.
I would think baseball has to be the biggest sport that misses.
You know, I love the movie Moneyball.
You got all these high school kids that are drafted, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might never hear from them again.
Yes.
Just, I mean, it's just, I don't know. We can move. I just.
No, I think that's a great point. I totally agree. I know you wanted to talk about some fisticuffs that happened in the ladies' side of the SEC tournament.
Yeah, now you didn't see that either, did you?
I did try to find highlights last night. And Sports Center, what was wrong? Oh, Big 12 wrestling ran over. I mean, and I'm like,
You're lucky it wasn't cornhole, because every once in a while they get that cornhole.
Was it Big 12 wrestling or was it Big 12 wrestling?
Wrestling.
Okay. Wrestling would have been okay, yeah, I mean, but wrestling, no.
No, if the Undertaker or the Rock wasn't fighting,
hey, I wasn't
watching.
So if you didn't see this, South Carolina won the women's SEC tournament yesterday. They beat LSU by 5-7 points. That's really not the important thing. The important thing is there was a bench clearing brawl that broke out with about 2 minutes left in the game, and everybody on both teams except for five players got kicked out. Now, if I understand that correctly, that means although they're only going to have five players in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Is that right?
No, somehow I was watching again. I watch Get Up just about every morning. And somehow that's not going to be the case. They're going to get to play. They're going to get to have those girls for the NCAA tournament. And I don't know.
It benefits the NCAA.
That's because they didn't fight. They just left the bench, I guess.
Well, I'm not sure. Or it may mean that they have to sit out the first game next year. But I'm not sure how they did it. But as I understand it, they will be available for the NCAA tournament, which means you have a meaningless rule. Don't even have a rule.
That's right.
If you have a rule and you're not going to enforce it, don't have it.
Well, if they didn't follow the rules as it was done, then they shouldn't have it. If they're going to make them set out the first game next year when they play Podunk U, then then they shouldn't even have the rules. They should just let them fight till the death, and who's ever still alive wins the game.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you can't. I don't understand that. I thought if you left the bench, you got the same penalty as anybody that was fighting.
Right.
When those things happen. Now, I could be wrong about that. Maybe they don't get the same penalty if they didn't fight, because they really didn't. They just went up there. They all left. They didn't really fight. There were only like two or three of them that were really fighting. And you know, I mean, there's a girl. They got a girl that's 6'7", and I bet she weighs about 260. And I mean, she knocked somebody on the floor.
She was out there for business.
Yeah, so yeah. She is out the next game. Isn't that right, Tony?
Huh?
She is out, that South Carolina girl.
They didn't talk about that, so I'm not sure. And it probably won't matter, because South Carolina is going to draw somebody weak in the first round. And it might not matter if they draw somebody strong. But the thing that was the funniest thing to me about it, other than being glad I wasn't on the court because those girls would kick my butt, was Mulkey, the LSU coach.
Well, I was just going to say, I would like to see Don Staley get on Mulkey.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, man. She's all usually put together, whereas these Ric Flair kind of outfits.
Yeah.
She wasn't put together last night.
No. Nope. But you know, one of the things I think about that whole situation is, there were people who came out of stands and got on the court. I think they hauled them off in cuffs, but they got to the court.
Well, you know, we touched on storming the court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and that's.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's this, I mean, could even have been a worse situation. I think it was the brother of one of the players. I don't know which one. Now, you know, Angel Reese from LSU, she went to the bench and sat down.
Got to respect that.
Somebody's teaching her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody.
There's money to be made, and she knows it.
That's right.
There's an image.
That's right. And you know, I think that's just that was just an amazing, amazing thing. I really thought they were all going to get kicked out for the first round of the NCAA tournament, and I was hoping that was going to be the case anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you want to talk about coaches?
Yeah, just for a little bit. Okay. We got 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
You made me do my homework on that one. I mean, I...
Did you?
Well, I
didn't want to make you guys unprepared. The other day we talked about baseball players, and you had to kind of pull them out of the air. I wanted to put a list. This is a list of, in the modern era, which basically starts with the Super Bowl era, these are the winningest coaches of championships and winning percentage. So I just put them all on there. There's like 20 coaches there for y'all to pick from.
Now to tell you what I done to do my homework, I looked at your list and kind of jotted down kind of the order I thought I might have them in.
Right.
And then just out of curiosity, I done a little research and got a few numbers because I thought, man, I could go in there and look dumber than normal. But I think my numbers kind of added up to what I thought ahead of time.
Well, what I thought through on this, and I thought about a top five, and then I thought, let's do this. Let's have a head coach, somebody to run your offense, and somebody to run your defense.
No, I didn't do that.
Okay. Well, but we can do it the other way.
We could come up with one.
And I can go first to give you guys a little more time, but what do y'all want to do? You want to do it the way I thought about doing it, or you?
Yeah, that's fine with me. That's what I kind of was looking at too.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but we can listen to what Jeff's got to say too if he wants to.
I always have time to listen.
Yeah.
I'm blushing.
From a head coach perspective, and it's no surprise, and y'all can get on me, but Chuck Knoll is the best head football coach in NFL history. In not only with wins and championships, things like that. Evaluator of talent, there's been no one better than Chuck Knoll. He in the 74 draft, the Steelers drafted four Hall of Famers and signed one as a free agent. They drafted Lynn Swann in the first round, Jack Lambert in the second, John Stallworth in the fourth, Mike Webster in the fifth, and then signed Donnie Schell after the draft. Five Hall of Famers from one class. I mean, and nobody's close to that. I just think that in an era before GMs and a bunch of scouts and all that, Chuck Knoll, you'd have a hard time moving me off that, probably impossible. I want Andy Reid to coach my offense. And I think Andy Reid is an offensive genius, and I think that he's proved that over and over and over again in different places. He seems like a guy that players want to play for other than Travis Kelce. Andy Reid would coach my offense. And then I like Bill Belichick on defense. Bill Belichick, to me, I think his image has been a little tarnished when Brady left and they didn't keep winning. His defenses, though, have always been steady, and Tom Brady didn't play defense. So I'll pick Chuck Knoll as my head coach, Andy Reid as my offensive coordinator, and Bill Belichick as my defensive coordinator.
You want me to go?
Sure.
Okay.
So, because mine's going to be a little bit of everywhere.
What's different about today?
So I'm gonna be realistic, and I'm not just gonna be a homer.
Welcome to my world.
I'm gonna go.
You're not gonna pick Tom Landry for something?
I am gonna include him in there.
Well, goodness sakes, then.
but not as the head coach.
Oh, okay.
Not as the head coach. I'm gonna take Don Shula as my head coach. The only guy that ever coached a team that was undefeated in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you talk about talent evaluation and doing what he did.
Also, couldn't win a Super Bowl with Dan Marino.
No. That's true. That's true. But it was when he was a rookie.
Well, they never got back either.
No, he didn't get back there. You're right, but I'm talking about the 70s.
Yeah.
But did they ever have a running back when they had Marino?
Well, they had not really. Mercury Morris, I think.
They was ahead of Marino, really.
They were. And
Morris and Zonka.
When they had good defenses, and they had a good defense for a while, and then they were old by the time Marino got there. There was a lot of things that contributed. I thought Marino was a great quarterback. I think the Steelers would have had 10 Super Bowls if they'd have drafted him. So
I heard he played college ball up there somewhere.
Yeah. Pitt.
Yeah. Yep. He did. But anyway, I mean, I'm going with the 70s Don Shula, not the 80s Don Shula.
Yeah.
But that's where my pick there
is. That's a good pick.
For offense, I know this is crazy, but I'm going to pick Tom Landry. And I think Tom Landry had, me personally, while I love to see a team that I don't care about, if I'm watching football, I want them to score a lot of points. I like my football team to have a combination of run, pass, and he did it so well. He kept, and you talk about evaluators of talent. Now, he had a lot of good talent that came along, but you think about all the tight ends that he had and the fullbacks that he used.
Well, and all the offensive innovation that came in with the Dallas Cowboys, and that was Tom Landry.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that's a really good pick. Yeah. And Landry also, you could not argue about his evaluation of talent. He was a great talent evaluator.
And the last guy I'm going to take, and I may be misthinking this, but as my defensive coordinator, I'm taking Marty Schottenheimer.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Marty Schottenheimer, when he was at the Browns.
Yeah, they had.
Look what they had on offense and what they did.
Yeah,
they could. You know, they never got all the way there, but I mean,
Schottenheimer's one Super Bowl win away from being one of the best coaches in NFL history. If you don't believe that, go look at the total stats, wins. He did it at Kansas City. He did it at Cleveland. He even won some at San Diego.
Yeah.
So I like Marty Schottenheimer.
And he has the hardest name on the list to spell.
That's right. If you get Schottenheimer in a spelling bee, you're cooked.
I just really liked the way they played when they played.
I like that list.
Yeah.
Since I've done a little research, I got two things I want to point out before I get into my list. I have narrowed it down here. First of all, the Steelers, and I kind of knew this, but I wasn't sure how many. They've only had three head coaches since I was born.
That's correct.
That is an amazing stat in the NFL.
I think it attributes at least in part to their success.
Yeah. Second, and I don't know that I had him on my list. I was thinking we were going 1 through 10 all-time coaches, but I was wondering why Jimmy Johnson wasn't on this list. I was wondering why Jimmy Johnson wasn't on here.
Yeah. I guess that
long term he wasn't there. I think what he did with the Cowboys was
amazing.
Was worthy of him being one of the top coaches for what he did right there.
Because probably one of the best 20 coaches in NFL history.
Well, you take a team that was, the first year he was there they won one game.
Yeah,
and that was 1989. 1992 they win the. They start to run a three Super Bowls in three Super Bowls in 4 years. Only two of them.
If he had coached another 10 years, we might be talking about him being the best coach in NFL.
Yeah, if Jerry Jones would have left him alone.
Well.
And that, which wasn't going to happen there.
Which is
Well, I'm gonna start with defensive coordinator and work my way up, and I'm going with Belichick, too.
Yeah. You can't argue that.
Belichick, defensive coordinator, that's an easy one for me. Offensive coordinator, Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh is a great pick.
He changed the game, too. Mm-hmm. West Coast offense. Three Super Bowl wins. I didn't get all of his numbers because he was a little ways down on my all-time list. But the greatest.
Well, another guy, too, that kind of stepped aside when he probably could have coached 4 or 5 more years and maybe won another Super Bowl and built the numbers up because George Seifert comes in behind him, and he wins a bunch of games and wins a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So.
Kind of their whole quarterback situation at the time, Montana goes down, you got Young goes down, and Bono comes in, and he ends up making big cash at Kansas City, isn't that where he ended up, after Montana.
But, yeah, and you know what he did Kansas City? Nothing.
That's me evaluating talent. My head coach, golly, this is easy. I can't believe y'all even missed this. There's a guy out there that some people probably heard of. They named a field after him. Vince Lombardi.
They actually named a trophy after him.
Five NFL championships, a couple of those being Super Bowl championships, and the other three before they called it the Super Bowl. 74% winning percentage, never had a losing season.
Yeah.
I mean.
I didn't miss that. I just considered him before the current era.
I just went by what was on the list.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I read the same list you did, Greg.
I know, but I'm just telling you, that's why, and I understand that. I mean, he is the coach that everybody else is measured by to some extent.
I mean, I could have went Vince Lombardi, Curly Lambeau.
Mike Holmgren.
I couldn't think of his first name. But McCarthy would not be on
there. You forgot Mike McCarthy. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Put him on there, too.
And we had the guy that was at Texas A&M for a year or two. What was his name?
Sherman? Don't think anybody could. Yeah. I don't think anybody could hardly argue with any of our lists.
No.
It would, with these names on here, it'd be hard to mess up if you used the names that are on this
sheet. Oh, yeah.
And add Jimmy Johnson. But I think that I don't know. It's interesting. I just love talking about stuff like that.
Yeah, me too.
And did you have some more? You thought you had more ideas?
No, I just put.
Who was just out? Who was just off your list? Who was on the bubble, but just out?
I had Coward and Gibbs both on mine.
Yeah, Coward would be a great defensive pick.
Gibbs won 3 Super Bowls.
John Madden would have probably been my just out. I love John Madden. He quit. I love his video game.
He quit too early.
Yeah, he did. You're right. That's a good point.
You know, and that's one reason why I didn't pick him, is he quit too early. And see, that's the same thing. If you want to go with the ones that quit too early, I'm going to take Jimmy Johnson as my head coach.
Yeah.
I'm going to take John Madden as my offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to take I can't remember. I just lost it. I had it in my head. I don't know. I lost the last one. But anyway, you know, there are several coaches that just decided they didn't want to do it that long.
Yeah.
And I think that
tells you what kind of pressure they're under, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, too.
But, you know, there's one on this list that we hadn't mentioned that, I mean, and I don't know the guy. Y'all probably don't know him personally.
You think?
I've never been a big fan of Bill Parcells, and everybody just raves on Bill Parcells. And
see, I am a big fan of Bill Parcells, and I will tell you why. Those Giant teams, they were all that in a bag of chips. That was when I was in college, when those Giant teams were rolling, and they were hard to beat. And then, you know, he goes to the Cowboys, and he wins. The Cowboys have a lot more talent now than they had with Bill
Quincy
Parcells.
Carter.
Yeah. And he still would get them near or in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
But he just couldn't tolerate Jerry Jones anymore.
Yeah.
Quincy Carter. Didn't he come from Georgia before Georgia was a powerhouse?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he did.
It was like having a running back at quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't a good running back either.
It's like having Tuttle at quarterback.
No, he wasn't that
for
bad.
For 20 million.
He wasn't that bad. But you know, you talk.
Call me, Packer.
Hey, you know, one thing, talking about pressure, though, you talk about that. Here's the pressure, 777.
That's right.
And when you talk about 777, you're talking about Walker Family Clinic. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., open 7 days a week for all your medical needs. Whatever you need, they'll take care of you. They'll go see them. And
well, you know, one of the things I'm really proud of our podcast and radio show is we not only have great sponsors, but we have – and you even go to Toe Thumper, you talk about outstanding corporate citizens that give and give and give to their communities. Our sponsors are that.
That's
the
right.
Walkers are that. The Martins are that. You know, so
we lost Toe Thumper today.
I apologize, Cody. I apologize for calling you delusional about Larry Bird. Please don't pull your sponsorship of our show.
Let's try to get through the Walkers, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So the Walker Family Clinic opens 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. For all your medical needs. Also, if you need them after hours, you just call 584-3000, option 6. You talk to a person. More than likely Brad Patterson, but it could be Dr. Randy Walker also. And, you know, the thing about them is not only are they there, they also have Leopard Clinic, which is located at the Queen Public Schools. You know, kids that are well are better learners. They miss less days, you know, all this, and they're helping out with all that, too. And we appreciate them so much for that. That, you know, you want to talk about they've got a nurse practitioner, Nick Matthews, that's a pediatric nurse practitioner. He's located right over here right across the street from the radio shop.
Wonder if they ever filled their X-ray tech.
They have not, as far as I know. So
your X-ray tech out there, that'd be a great place for you to work.
Yep. That's right.
Talking to you, Dak.
Yeah, that's true. And not only do they have that, they've also got the Dirks Clinic. And the Dirks Clinic is expanding. They're going to have X-ray machine over there, probably where the X-ray tech's going to be working some.
Right.
And just great medical services all over Southwest Arkansas and Howard County and Sevier County, too. So, and not only do they have that, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Simple Simon's Pizza.
I knew you did. I was going to give him the opportunity, but you go ahead and talk about it.
Well, I'm telling you what, outstanding, and I'm probably not going to lead with what you guys thought, but I mean, their salad bar is unmatched to me. I just have all my favorites on there. If you're a big fan of a salad before you eat pizza or after you eat pizza or while you eat pizza, man, that's...
I'm always distracted at the salad bar because you walk up there and the cinnamon sticks are right up there by it.
He's also distracted by tinfoil.
Yeah. Let me take this off my head.
But you know, you talk about,
not only do we lose Cody, we're going to lose Jeff at the end of this episode as well.
That's right. Well, you know, the thing about Simple Simons is not only is their pizza great, or their sandwiches are great, their wings are great, their salads are great, everything they do is great, and it's like $8.99 for a buffet. When you get that, you know, that's unbelievable. But they're such great community partners.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've got that first Monday of each month, 50-50. Last month was the Queen Athletic Booster Club. Great citizens of the community helping out all the time. It's always something, and that money always goes locally.
Well, in a world where everything seems to be going up, you go to Walmart, it costs you twice as much to buy groceries as you used to. You go to a restaurant, it's $5 more per meal.
And you don't even have to make it all the way to Walmart. You can turn right.
That's exactly
right.
And
man, go in there to
eat. Their prices are so reasonable. I think it's $8.99 for the pizza buffet, $7.99 if you just want salad.
That's right.
I mean, where else can you go and eat?
You can't.
And if you eat there as often as me, I mean, you can get a matching set of cups. I mean, I've got a 4-piece of those cups at home.
So
maybe more than
we're going to do.
He's going to get the full set so he can have a dinner party.
A Christmas party. I'm
telling
you,
this is gold, Jerry. We're going to do a Southwest Arkansas bachelor, and Jeff's going to be our. instead of a rose, he can give each girl a Simple Simon.
There you go.
Yeah,
I think that's
like
great.
Sweet tea or
I think that's great. And you know, lastly but not leastly, we don't want to forget about Ayers Cleaners.
Yeah.
You know, another place that the Walker's Enterprises have taken up and improved over what it was. It was great to start with. They made it even better. They're open on Saturdays now for your pickups and deliveries. And they also do alterations. They store things. They do everything there. And they'll even clean your clothes, Jeff.
I need it when I leave Simple Simons.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go straight from Simple Simons down there, take your shirt off, let them wash it.
I got an extra shirt in the truck right now.
Hey. I travel with an extra shirt as well. And Jay and Greg make fun of me.
And
on
he
the
has
road.
To put it on every time.
I do. But I have it there to put on.
Every time. So
the sideline guys look nice, man.
Yeah. So we always want to make sure that we thank Dr. Randy Walker and Angie and all their enterprises for their sponsorship of the show. We're going to have some special things going on with them on our podcast for the next 2 or 3 weeks due to the eclipse, and you'll be hearing about that soon. Anything else you guys got, though?
There's
going to
be an eclipse.
You better get you some glasses.
I got me some gargles.
I got a pair
of gargles.
Yeah, I got a pair. Don't use a welding helmet, Jeff.
I mean, if I want to see it dark, I just stay up late.
You got to stay up later now.
Yeah, I guess.
Because there's more daylight than there was.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there's an extra hour of daylight now.
That's right. I saw Coach Bell had a post on Facebook this morning, and it basically said, "Daylight is saved."
Yeah. Well, if y'all don't have anything else, I guess that wraps it up for episode 31 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We appreciate all our sponsors for sponsoring our silliness, and we thank you for listening to us. And most of all, we thank the kids for all they do and giving us something to talk about. We love talking about them, and we appreciate them so much and all the great things that they're doing in Southwest Arkansas. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.